right, nice job. Good set. Let's do some social kick.
Let's do it. We're live. Welcome back to the Social Kick Podcast. I'm Brian Lundquist. We got a full crew in Luke's backyard again today. Luke Paddington, Dr. John Mullen. We're talking to ISL coach Bob Platt. What's up, Bob?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing great.
Awesome.
Outdoors. We both got skylights or string lights up. It's quite the environment. So what's going on in your world, Bob? Where are you?
I am in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm in a neighborhood called Arcadia. Just kind of hanging out. I have the afternoon off, which is quite nice.
And what sort of hydration you got tonight?
Unfortunately, I have vitamin water zero.
Unfortunately.
What a plug for them.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm joining you in the non-alcoholic realm tonight. I'm drinking a beer from Athletic Brewing. This brand that's making these non-alcoholic beers. But this is the kind of Mexican lager, so Cerveza Atletica.
If it'll make you feel better, I can walk into my pantry and I can grab some vodka.
I think we should mix it up.
Yeah, I think you ought to do that.
Because this Mexican bear might pick a fight with that Mexican bear. That's what's going to happen. Because this is...
I don't care much about that Mexican beer. What's that?
It's Modelo Especial. It's fine. It's solid. It's just to keep you hydrated. And then you jump onto other good stuff, I'd say.
So many people drinking Modelo in California. I don't know. I'm a Budweiser guy. What do you got, John?
Something Luke gave me that clearly he picked out for the photo. It's like a, I don't even know, Maserati or something on here called Citra and Citra Lupo Max TM. Citra is my vice.
Oh, there you go.
So it's a hazy IPA. It's not too bad, but
it was a photograph, okay?
I'm sorry. This guy in.
That makes me wonder, what are the party scenes like celebrating after ISL meets? That had to take you back to college parties a bit.
Definitely. I mean, after the championship last year, I mean, the energy standards seem to be going pretty nuts on deck, having a good time. And we talked about that last season of ISL, how the international athletes maybe had never had that college experience. So this might be kind of their in at having that big team and, you know, whole group environment.
Do we know who the youngest athlete in the league is?
I don't know, but I do know that if they are 18 years old or younger, they basically have to receive special permission to participate.
Got it. Are there any people under 18?
I don't know, but on DC Tribe, there are not.
Okay. Was Malik under 18 last year? The center flyer from Hungary?
I think so. I think he was like 17. Yeah.
No. But yeah.
Actually, I don't know.
Is that 50 breaststroker? Where is she from? There's a female 50. Is she in the league? Any idea?
There was one from Turkey. There's one from Greece, maybe. That's 50.
Yeah.
Greece. I don't know. I don't know if she's on energy standard or not.
Yeah, it's changing every day, isn't it? Because you know the Aussies dropping out. They had to replace all the Aussies. A lot of new English people came in, and some more athletes dropped out. Some people from Italy dropped out. Five athletes from Italy dropped out today or something. So, I mean, do you suspect any of your athletes are in jeopardy of not participating? Have you heard anything or so far?
You know, there were two Aussies that dropped out, and Caitlin and Cindy had, I think, 2 hours and 15 minutes to replace them.
Why was there a deadline? Why was it?
I can't tell you why there was a deadline. All I know is we were all texting back and forth, and the Aussies pulled out. I think that had to do with jeopardizing whether they would be able to return home or not. Mm-hmm. And so all I know is that's what they had. They basically had 2 hours and 15 minutes to fill the spot.
How does the GM and the head coach select their athletes? They didn't give me a call.
They've seen all your time. So.
Yeah, I will talk to them about that. I'm really sorry.
Every country drops out. Luke is ready.
They've seen how slow you social kick. That's what it is.
That should be a Skins event. The slowest kick.
That's awesome. You know, I think they do their research like everybody else does and figure out what athletes have not been signed yet or been asked. You know, there is quite a bit of kind of going on behind the scenes and trying to see who is interested, who is retired, who isn't retired. I believe that it's a little bit different this year, where last year the GMs had the ability to pay the athletes different rates. Mm-hmm. This year, everybody's being paid the same.
Yeah.
And so it kind of evened the playing field a little bit. But basically, you know, Caitlin and Cindy had some people helping them, including the assistant coaches. And basically we're looking at world rankings, looking at who was available, you know, who's 18 and over, not in college, and just saying, okay, who in all these various events. You know, some people were signed last year and stayed on, and then some spots opened up this year. And so they would go through and say, okay, we need a 200 flyer, for example, and then look at who was available really, and then contact them and see, you know, if they were interested or not. I think more than anything, Cindy and Caitlin were really cognizant of not just getting fast swimmers, but really it was about who fit into the team culture, and the team culture being, you know, one of, more than anything, they want to have a great time. They want everybody to feel valued. They, you know, really value inclusion and diversity. Mm-hmm. And so they just made a conscious effort to go after people that were not only fast swimmers, but good people and who contributed to the team culture.
With that, you said a lot of swimmers are dropping out from Australia. The CEO came out with a statement. I thought it was a pretty harsh statement, saying that, hey, these countries are kind of bullying the swimmers and things like that into not competing and things according to that. Did you read that statement? And what were your thoughts when that came out?
You know, I have to be honest and tell you, I did not read the statement. I do know that there were, obviously, across the board, there are safety concerns, right? There's safety concerns with what's going on with COVID, and every country, every swim federation is handling it differently. I think more than anything, every country is focused on really the health and well-being of their athletes. And in doing so, obviously, you know, the COVID infection rate may be different in different states. It's also different in different countries. And I think that they're trying to safeguard, you know, much like the NBA and much like anybody else, they are doing, you know, with operating within a bubble. And so if Swim Australia says this is the rules we're playing by, then everybody has to do that. So, you know, I don't know. I don't really have an opinion, because I don't feel like I'm as educated as I probably need to be on that. But right. I will tell you that that's kind of the reasoning, is really what they believe to be the safety of their athletes.
Do people know who Bob Platt is, and how we talk about athletes getting selected, but talk about coaches getting selected and your pedigree? So you started off in Philadelphia, right? And coaching in Philadelphia with Germantown, and then you became a head coach at your own club for a number of years. In 2004, you moved out to Scottsdale, and you're at Scottsdale. Talk a bit about your history, and quite frankly, why did you get selected as assistant coach of an ISL team? Straight up.
Oh, you impressed me. Somebody did their homework and read my bio on Scottsdale Aquatic Club, huh?
Dave Wharton, man. Big swimmer back in the day.
Yeah. Did you say Dave Wharton?
Yeah, he was one of your swimmers, right? Kind of, back in the day.
Dave is one of my very good friends. Let's see. I will go back. I grew up probably like most people, started swimming summer club. You know, started lifeguarding. And while I was lifeguarding, I was giving swim lessons and coaching summer rec. I went to the University of Maryland and then transferred to Temple University. While I was at Temple University, I got involved with what's called the Magic Kingdom College program. I worked at Walt Disney World for a year. And when I got back from that, I had a year left. And I literally just happened to run into a mom that was on the board of our summer swim club. She asked me if I was interested in coaching swimming. And outside of Philadelphia, basically all of the school districts are townships, and every school district has an indoor pool. Right. And there's a league. And so like Maddie Crippen, an Olympian, David Burkhoff, David Wharton, the list goes on. It's a very, believe it or not, very competitive league. And so I started coaching one of those teams. And then Schulberg actually asked if I was interested in coaching with him. I coached with Schulberg from 1989 to 92. And during that time, really great experience. We put four guys on our Olympic team.
Who was it? Wharton, Burkhoff, Namesnick?
No, it wasn't Namesnick. Namesnick is from Butler, Pennsylvania, which is out near Pittsburgh. No, it was Dave Wharton, David Burkhoff, Sean Killian, Dan Jurgensen. And Sean Killian actually was my roommate for 2.5 years leading up to the 92 Olympics. And I probably learned more about coaching by living with Sean as a distance athlete and seeing what it took firsthand to not only be the best in the country, but one of the best in the world. You know, after 92, basically Schulberg was like, hey, look, you're ready to go on your own. I became a head coach for 12 years at what was called Spirit Swimming. And it did everything that I could do there. It was a relatively small team, but we were very fortunate, had some success. And then in 2004, my partner graduated from med school, from residency. And I said, I'll go anywhere you want. And we looked in a little bit in Florida, in Vegas, and landed in Phoenix. Moved out here in 2004, and I wanted absolutely nothing to do with the sport.
Ooh.
And I stepped away from it for a year and thought, what is the most mindless job that I can do that has a direct benefit? And so I worked at Crate and Barrel for a year because we had just purchased our first home. So I furnished the house at a discount by working at Crate and Barrel. And then actually 1 mile from my house was a YMCA that opened up with an outdoor 50-meter pool. I was supposed to be coaching 2 days a week, which became 4 days a week, which became doubles, and eventually became the aquatic director and then director of senior program director. So I got sucked back into it. And then we moved from one side of Phoenix to the other in 2010. And Kevin Zacher, who is the head coach at Scottsdale Aquatic Club, found out I was in the area and asked me to come on staff. And I put him off for a year and said no. And then eventually joined the coaching staff in 2012. I was his assistant with the national group for 3 years and then became the director of operations. So the director of operations and an assistant with the national group. So it's kind of my long story short.
And Cindy reached out to you last year. You said, no, I'm not going to be a coach of ISL. And eventually you turned around and you decided to do it. Is that your modus operandi?
Basically throughout my career, I've been really fortunate to be involved with some really successful athletes. And in doing that, you know, they go to college and you start to know the college coaches. And Cindy, I have known for, I don't even know, probably 30 years, 25 years. And so Amy Bilquist, who is on DC Trident, I have been involved with her career since she was 7 years old. She signed this year with DC. She was talking to Caitlin and to Cindy, and they were talking about assistant coaches. And Amy said, you should ask Bob. And Cindy said, oh, my God, I didn't even think about that. Do you think you'd be interested? So she called me, and right away I said I was interested, but I needed to run it by Kevin. And prior to starting to work with Kevin, I met with him and basically said, okay, these are my conditions. You know, I want to be able to travel. I don't want to work Saturdays and I don't want to go to meets all the time. Well, yeah, that lasted about a month. And then I got sucked back in and Kevin said, this is a great opportunity, take it. And so he gave me his blessing and said, you know, we'll make it work, go. So really, I mean, from day one, the first time I asked him, he's like, absolutely, you should do this. It's great for your career. It'd be a great experience. I want you to do it. And has been nothing but supportive.
Because it is a commitment, huh? It's what, 5 weeks in Budapest you're gonna be spending.
Especially this year.
Yeah. It's not 5 weeks, kid. We leave on October 10th and we get back at the earliest we get back is November 23rd.
Wow. Okay.
That's not 5 weeks. That's 5 weeks in dog years.
It is a big commitment. And that takes you, I think, through semifinals. That's not even, you know, finals. That's basically the end of kind of match play.
What's been the best part of the experience thus far?
Getting to know Caitlin. I didn't know her previously, so that has been, you know, wonderful. She is absolutely amazing. She is a stud in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
Great. More than, you know, the swimming success is wonderful, but she's a great human being. You know, really. And then, you know, kind of slowly learning all the athletes and kind of their backgrounds and how this league works. And, you know, it's just such a great concept. I feel bad in a way that because of COVID, the fans won't get to experience the way that it was last year. And when I say that, I mean, it is very fan friendly, you know, and they really tried to implement and improve and evolve the league this year. And I think they made some great improvements, but unfortunately, fans won't get to witness it live. They'll get to witness it through CBS Sports, which has picked it up and is covering all of the matches live, but they won't get to see it, you know, in person.
And that's too bad because, I mean, Budapest and Hungary has such a strong swimming following. When I was there for the World Championships, I mean, that place was packed. It's a beautiful venue there. So it's too bad that the, you know, audience won't be there. So how do you think it will be swimming a meet with no fans at the arena?
Well, I think, first of all, it's going to be strange. You know, it's a, it, like you said, I happened to be there last summer with the World Junior team for, I was there with the U.S. team for the World Junior Champs. And, you know, beautiful facility. The people couldn't have not have been any more accommodating and nice and gracious and welcoming. I think it's going to be a little bit strange, but at the same time, you know, everybody that's involved with the league, they're professionals. And so they get what it's about. And I think they'll rise to the occasion. I think that it's, in terms of the fanfare, I don't know. We're going to have to get over there and see what it's like. You know, hopefully they have the Jumbotrons and things like they're doing with the NBA and, you know, hockey and everything else, but we'll see.
How much can Luke pay to get his face on a screen at the stadium?
It happened in the Olympics, the Rio Olympics. My face got on the screen.
No, but you're just going to be like the NBA. You're going to be the big head lying close, just no, like no, you're going to pay $100 to have your face just in the background, picking your nose, drinking a beer.
But the experience of the audience is not going to be messed with at all. Because honestly, I remember we kept saying, well, where's the audience? The live audience. So the live audience in the stands. I think us watching it, we're gonna have the same experience as we did.
Yeah, which was, you know, great.
I mean, on TV, you guys are pumped. The athletes are pumped on deck. They were so excited. We got excited. The DJ, the lights and stuff. We weren't affected by empty stands or not. Do you think we would be?
No. And also, we're talking about the Olympics coming up, and I have a hard time believing that the Olympics would go on if fans couldn't be in the stands. But that said, I think that you could have the Olympics with fans not in the stands. And as long as you create the right team environment on deck, the fans in the stands don't really matter. It's like at an elite college meet, you could cut the tension with a knife and it wouldn't matter what's going on anywhere except for the pool deck. I think it'd be cool if the ISL got to the point that, and I think that ISL does a great job at having all the teams clustered in a team area and they're raucous and they're into it and cheering. And like that actually matters. It moves you as an athlete in the pool. And I think as camaraderie and like teamsmanship starts to really take off in the ISL, then I think that, you know, the swimmers will feed off of that even more. And perhaps there'll be a learning in that regard this season.
Brian, I swam in Canada. Nobody went to us for meets. I know,
any meet that I've seen, like a live stream in Montreal, it's
nobody goes to swim meets in Canada.
Yeah.
And I swam look how famous I am, how well I swam, right?
But peer motivation is one of the biggest motivators. I mean, peer motivation, yeah. Obviously, pro athletes, it gets a little bit different when there's financial incentives involved. But I mean, God, if you have all these great athletes there cheering you on and pushing you, I think there's going to be some fast swims still. I just think it's going to be a little bit different when they get on deck the first time, but once they get going, it's going to be fun. And as, like you said, a viewer, it's going to be good. And hopefully it keeps going on.
What does it mean to be an assistant coach of DC Trident then, Bob? I mean, how that's difficult to, how involved are you going to be with the athletes besides a relationship and meeting and stuff? How involved you are in that training and getting to know these athletes? Describe that dynamic. It's difficult, right? You're close to a couple of them, but others, these are new kids to you.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, it means a great deal to me to have the opportunity. I mean, I'm really, as I said, I'm really honored and really pleased that, you know, Cindy asked me, Caitlin agreed to it. And, you know, Susan Teeter, who has been a lifelong friend of mine, she is also an assistant coach. So obviously the coaching staff gets along really, really well. You know, Amy Bilquist, again, I told you I've known her since she was 7 years old. So I will be acting as her home coach anyway,
right?
You know, the workouts. Our role is to basically help out wherever is needed. You know, these guys are professionals. Most of them, pretty much all of them are post-grads. You know, they don't need their hands held. But at the same time, if they need us to run their workout, I'm assuming they're going to be getting them from their home coaches. If they need us to write up the workout, we're willing to do that. And happy to do that. If they just need us to administer a workout that's being given to them, or if they just need us to get pace, you know, whatever role the athletes need us to play to support their success is what we're there for. And that's what I'm there for, you know? So it'll be interesting. You know, you guys spoke a little bit about last year. I mean, one of the things that's quite different is we are operating very much in a bubble. I mean, we will either be at the pool or we will be on Margaret Island. We will not be permitted to go anywhere else, at least for the foreseeable future. When we get there, we are quarantined for 4 days, basically in our rooms, and tested twice before we can even start to train or to go to the pool. You know, so it is quite different than last year. In a way, I think that will make it so that the athletes actually everybody becomes closer because you're literally going to be spending at least 6 weeks with everybody together. You know, so I think you're going to see everybody supporting each other, although they may be on different teams. Everyone's going to be supporting each other. You know, I know that there are some athletes on other teams that I know quite well. And if they need help, I'm happy to do it. Even though I'm not their coach, if I'm there and they need help, I'm happy to do it.
Bob, do you know what the communication is like with the athletes and also how the selection process is influenced by how much they're prioritizing being fast for this ISL season? And I say that because last year we saw sort of a mix of, you know, athletes and teams whose roster looks really, really good on paper, but you might not have seen the best result from that team because you could tell people were deep in training or others were really fresh. And so I'm just curious about what impact that has and what the communication is like, so kind of setting expectations.
I can't speak for any other team other than DC Tridents. And I know that both Caitlin and Cindy have worked really hard to put together a team that is ready to go. And when I say ready to go, I mean, obviously the X factor in all this is COVID. You know, I mean, there were so many people that were out of the water for so long. And even if they were in the water, some were just sporadic in their training. You know, I don't know how much you know about the format this year with the jackpot times. And
yeah, I know.
You can get penalized. So nobody wants to get penalized because they're swimming poorly. So obviously, I'm sure each coach asks the athletes, hey, where are you in your training? Are you ready to go? Are you excited to do this? And are you, more importantly, are you, you know, ready to swim fast? No, it's not going to do the general manager and the head coach any good to bring an athlete that is great on paper but hasn't been training for 6 months and is going to cost the team points. You know, I mean, so really they're trying to put together the best team possible that can perform at, you know, at their best.
Do you think that that has a recipe for some potential conflict if you've got athletes who are planning to do some big sets and you're administering that during the week and then they come to the meet and then it's like, well, no wonder you're dead.
Of course it does. Of course it has the potential for that. But at the same time, you know, you've got to trust that these people are, you know, professionals in what they're doing. And they're being honest when they are asked what kind of shape they're in, where they are, and if they're prepared to swim fast. I mean, let's be honest. We're going to be there for, what, 6.5 weeks, almost 7 weeks. You know, I'm going to go back to Amy Bilquist. You know, I was talking with her and we said it is just unrealistic that every single weekend she is going to be able to swim fast and be at her best, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to hold a taper for 7 weeks. You just can't do that, you know? So really it was sitting down and saying, okay, how do you cycle your training, your rest and everything to allow you to perform at your best and peak when you need to peak? And so I believe that the athletes that have been selected for DC Trident are ready to do that and preparing to do that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You're bringing up just like the cycles and trying to pinpoint exactly when people are peaking and things like that. So as a coach, like you said, the other athletes are coming in with their own programs a lot of times. Do you communicate with their home coaches about what you guys are trying to do? Or is that just kind of offhand? Once again, you're just trying to administer, just trying to facilitate, and what happens, happens.
As an assistant coach, that's not my role. I'm not communicating with the athletes and the coaches. That is something that Cindy, as the head coach, is, you know, responsible for doing. I'm not. I mean, like I said, I'm there to support, you know, whatever they need. I do know that, you know, as Cindy is selecting, you know, the team, and as Caitlin are selecting the team, they obviously are asking for feedback from us as assistant coaches. What do you know about them? You know, do you know them personally? Do you know how they train? Do you know what they're like as people? I'm sure that with every athlete that is on the team, first and foremost, like I said, they're making sure they're good people. They're excited to be part of the team, you know, and that they're prepared to go fast. And in being prepared, that means have they done the work and are they still doing the work to, you know, to go fast over there. So I'm pretty sure that if, you know, the coaching staff knew that an athlete's been out of the water or not been training and not prepared to swim fast when needed, then they probably weren't selected.
Yeah. How much do you think that being so close in the same environment, like you mentioned, being in a bubble, getting to know all these other athletes, You think that's going to impact the results that we see by some different sorts of lineup strategy, getting to know what the ins and outs of each team is doing on a daily basis?
It must.
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, you guys know, I mean, the rosters are limited, right? I mean, you can't fill every single spot with a stud. It just isn't, for when I say a stud, you can't fill it for, you know, the best 50 freestyler in the world isn't going to be on every single team when there's 10 different teams, right? So there is a little bit of gamesmanship. And there's also, you're picking people that have versatility that can fill in where it needs to be. You know, I know that last year they were talking about Zane Grothy, and Zane Grothy, they said, is just, I don't know him. And they said, he's awesome. And they said, you know, they needed somebody to do the 400 IM. He's like, yeah, sure, I'll do the 400 IM. So, you know, pretty much everybody's a team player, and they step up and they get it done. So
we had Amy on our show. We had your athlete Amy on the show, and I swear she said she wants to do 100 breaststroke.
Yeah,
she definitely wants to do breaststroke.
She said her shins are real ready for a lot of breaststroke
training. Those 15 fractures are fine.
Her and JR have been doing a lot for it.
Who's this?
Amy.
Amy. She said Amy. Her and JR are getting her ready for 100 breast.
Clearly, you have never seen her do breaststroke. Like a sea turtle.
Exactly.
Shin splint like that. Instantaneous shin splint.
Yeah. No way. She'll be in practice and she'll be like, yeah, watch this. And she'll be like, no, No, not at all. So,
yeah, no, I overlapped with Zane a bit when I was at Auburn. He's a good guy.
Yeah, I'm looking, you know, I'm really looking forward to meeting everybody, honestly. I mean, I'm really looking forward to having a great experience. And, you know, part of you, just like with you guys, part of doing this and part of, you know, really enjoying the sport are the athletes and getting to know them and getting to know their personalities and what makes them tick. And, you know, if you look at it, it's like the last athlete that was just picked up for DC Tridents was Lee Gingrich, you know, and Lee is what, 30?
60 at the tired, right? She stopped.
Yeah, 31 years old. You know, she actually swam in the same LSC where I coached outside of Philadelphia. I knew her coach, but I don't know her, but I'm excited to meet her and find out kind of what makes her tick, what made her get back into it. And everybody's got a story. So it's really, I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, especially because we have quite a few international athletes on the team. So that always adds a different flair. And I'm really looking forward to that as well.
Bob, I want to go through the roster, but I do have one guy for you. He's been retired for a while. He was the American record holder in the 50 fly until some guy called Dressel beat it. His name is Lundquist, Brian. Retired a couple of years, still training. You know, maybe you're looking at it.
Come on, give me a hookup with Caitlin. I know Cindy.
There you go. You know what's weird about that is I'm going to use my memory bank here, but I don't know Lundquist, but I do believe he's from Georgia, and I think his former club coach was one of my roommates at the OTC if he swam for Ian.
Get out of here, really?
Boom.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Am I pulling that out of my my
No, that's true.
Yes, I know. And so actually, yeah, I don't know. You know, Ian doesn't have the great things to say. We'll see.
Well, I'm sitting around drinking non-alcoholic beer and not knowing anything.
18 mile runs.
What's wrong with you?
You know, he got the injury report. He knows I rolled my ankle yesterday.
Yeah. Ian kept saying, he's like, if he would only use his talent, how good he
What's that Pan Am game shirt you have on?
That sounds like him. Yeah, I wanted to wear my Pan Am shirt tonight.
I'm pretty sure. If memory serves me correct, you were on an international trip with Scott Goodrich too.
Yeah, we went to a World University Games together.
Oh, yes, I know.
So, maybe we should get into the details of that trip.
Was that one trip?
It was. See, yeah, take another swig of that drink before
exactly. It's non-alcoholic.
I gotta grab that vodka for that exactly. One, right? That's a trip down that fun lane.
Yeah, Ryan's sitting here regretting he had me onto this show. I knew that much about him.
Not at all. There are world-class current USA team members who were on that trip and were had some issues.
Had some stories.
That's what I heard.
Do you want to start going through the roster?
Yeah, let's go through the roster. And you know what? There's some names there that all four of us may not know, but that's why we love swimming, because we're going to get to know them really well.
Exactly. And the teams are so deep with now the two extra teams this year and Australia dropping out, new people going in. It's going to be a great way to learn. And we admit we learned a lot of international people last time from the ISL.
So the first athlete I think that you guys haven't recruited is her. there's no reason why a general manager can't swim, in my opinion.
Oh, Natalie swam last time, right?
Yeah, but she's a GM. Yeah, exactly. Caitlin's the same era. So anyway, let's jump on to Zach.
Zapple?
Well, yeah, I think this is a huge pickup for DC this year. Zach, I'll be interested to see how he does in skins, but being a great rangy sprinter from the 50 up to the 200, I think that Apple's got a lot of application in DC and obviously a lot of versatility in a format like this where you're looking for somebody who can swim multiple events, who can kind of slot in a lot of different places. Yeah. And so I think, you know, application as a sprinter, as well as, you know, all the way up to longer relays.
Does he do any strokes?
I don't think so.
Coach, any comments on Zach?
I don't personally know him, but I can find out really quickly. I brought my little cheat sheet here.
There you go. I don't remember seeing him doing anything, but like you said, he goes 50 to 200.
Yeah, and there were times, you know, last year, yeah, I think, where he was setting world best times in the 100 free long course.
So, yeah.
I mean, you know, and he's one of split 46 on the relays before. I just think that's a huge pickup.
Again,
really interested to see how he can stack up back-to-back 50s.
So Brian, you brought up the skins, but don't make the assumption that it's been
freestyle. Yeah, the winner of the medley relay gets to decide the stroke of the skins.
Right. So it's different than last year. So theoretically, whoever wins, they could say, you know what, we're doing skins and it's breaststroke. So Zach may not be the one that's doing it.
Yeah. So,
I can break him in.
No, Zane Groove.
I mean, like you said, while we're on the rule changes, I know you mentioned the jackpot swims, but I'm not sure if anyone can explain it concisely or if everyone knows what that is. So I'm going to put.
Oh, go ahead. My intuition is if the winner beats the second place winner by a set time that ISL have in a chart,
yep,
then all of the points goes to that winner's team of the whole event. And is that correct?
And it's like a percent of the world record? Is that out there?
Like, it's a 0.85 and a 53.
Okay.
For the men, it's 0.85. For the women, it's 0.95.
Right. That's a significant win that you're going to have to do.
I'm assuming that the reason they did this is because of what you guys talked about earlier, where last year you had some athletes who were obviously really, I don't want to say in great shape, but they were peaking for ISL. And then you had other athletes that were participating and just using it as kind of a, you know, test run because they were training through it.
That's what I would do.
The idea is that they're trying to make it so that everybody is all in for this. And one way to make sure is your team gets penalized if you're not performing. That's my assumption. I can't say that for sure, but, you know, just kind of reading through the literature, that's what it appears to be.
It's a significant drop off the first and second place. I don't think we saw anybody like that. Only PD and Dressel might have something like that, right?
And it goes all the way down to 8 places, right, where you can steal their points from.
Yes.
Jackpot swimmer. Right? I'm trying to think what swimmer and what event is like the big – can get the biggest gain from.
Dressel and PD. Ledecky's not there anymore.
Is it short course meters again?
Yes. Short course meters.
He wasn't killing people short course meters.
I don't think he was ready for it.
I mean, yeah. I'm trying to think. So Dressel, yeah, he's a big one. I'm trying to think of one event, though. 53, so I guess. Unless Manadou is up there again. Who'd you say? So strong?
Yeah.
And what? Hunter Fly?
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah, Hunter Fly. And then I was going to say, like, Kate Campbell, depending on the matchup.
She's not in it, right?
Not in it.
So, yeah. Like I said, there's so many little changes here and there. I'm trying to think who else has been.
A lot of it depends on the matchup too, how much you would weight it. Like there is a competitor in the league that's on par, but maybe not on the opposite team.
Yeah, that's true. It's going to be very matchup dependent, that's for sure.
Let's look at some of the athletes again. Bailey Anderson. I'm not aware of Bailey.
This is what I know about her. I don't know her personally. I know that she swam at the University of Denver. She's Canadian, and I only know that she swam there because I have an athlete that is a 200 breaststroker at University of Denver, and then I believe she transferred for her senior year to Indiana with Ray Luz and excelled quite well.
Oh, great.
We're in Canada. Look, you Canadian, know everyone from Canada.
Yeah, I don't know. Not many Canadians swim.
She's used
to
swimming with no fans.
I know, but not many Canadians swim in the States. They like to stay in Canada, so I'll tell you that.
Well, that's not necessarily true considering Taylor Ruck grew up at Scottsdale, and then, you know, just coincidentally, Canada happened to, like, pull her away. so, Yeah, she may be Canadian by birth, but she's just as much American as anybody else.
There you go.
Could be a few Olympus comers that you say that for, right?
Hey, I'm part Canadian too. Boom. Yeah. All right.
All right.
So I don't know Emma Box. Emma Boxen, who's this?
She goes there. She's from the University of South Carolina, I believe, 400.
All right.
Maybe a breaststroke also. Yeah, again, somebody from Scottsdale Aquatic Club swam at the University of South Carolina, is good friends with her. That's kind of what I know about her.
Nice.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I'm not familiar at all.
I have no idea who this is. She gets injured.
You
she
what?
Has nice dogs. She has good dogs.
Yeah, is JR keeping her healthy? Is she doing
Yeah, how's
better?
She doing?
Who, Amy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's doing great.
Good.
Yeah, we enjoyed meeting her. Big time.
She is training very well. I am very, you know, Kevin's doing an amazing job with her. She's happy. She's swimming well and she's swimming fast.
So Amy's pretty versatile. What events do you see her doing the best in ISL?
I think she will go. She has the range to go 50, 100, 200 free. She would kill me for saying 200 free. I guarantee you she won't do it, but she can. I mean, what has she been? 141 and 140, you know, at Cal. Yeah. And then 50, 100, 200 back.
Yeah, six events. That's pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah. So you know she'll do. She's a team player. She will do whatever the coaches need. You know, she's ready to go. Like I said, she's fit. I don't know. Pleased with how she's training.
Excellent. Nice. Can't wait. Yeah. Israeli, right?
Yeah, I don't know. He was a relatively late pickup, as far as I know. I don't know him.
Yeah, those who are watching DC Trident did a nice Instagram profile on each of these athletes, give a little background between each of them. So that's why I learned he's Israeli. Mm-hmm. Katrin Delmer, a German who swims at.
So I got a text last week from, again, an athlete who is a senior at Ohio State who.
That's right.
Our swim team, Scottsdale Aquatic Club, put something out about Amy and then put something out on the Instagram about myself. And so the athlete that is at Ohio State immediately texted me and said, oh, my God, my best friend is this person and you will love her. She's from Germany, but she's one of the nicest people you'll meet. So actually, I'm very much looking forward to meeting her.
Nice.
Again, it speaks to the culture that Caitlin and Cindy are creating at DC Trident, which is all about chemistry and really super athletes.
That's absolutely. 100%. Yep.
Right. Devine, Stanford stud, man.
Abram Devine.
Yeah.
Scott, what do you know about Abram?
You know, obviously I am training with David Marsh at Team Elite and he's ready to go. Very excited about it. You know, Caitlin and Cindy, I don't know Abram, but Caitlin and Cindy have nothing but great things to say about him and said he was a great team player.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what he does. I mean, obviously he had
been quiet for
a few
while.
Years ago. Yeah, it was really on the rise, tearing it up. Then it was quiet with some different stuff in the news about him. Yep. But I'm intrigued to see if he can help out with at the Olympics, the US IMs. And obviously this is this platform to continue that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, like I said, everything I've heard about him is wonderful. And I'm looking forward to him performing well.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait. This guy tore it up last ISL.
Yeah.
I mean, he dominated some of those breaststrokes, man.
Wait, who is that?
E-Infinity.
Yes. Again, Caitlin and Cindy have wonderful things to say. They're really excited about him this year and feel like he's going to really step up and perform well and be a team leader, you know, second year with the team. So,
yeah.
Absolutely. I think they're really ready to lean on and hoping to lean on the athletes that are returning for their second year. They obviously know the team culture, you know, Madison Kennedy, you know, Giles Smith.
Team captain, vice captain.
Captain and vice captain.
Yeah.
You know, I actually, you know, I've run into Giles being in Phoenix, but I don't know him. But I texted him 2 days ago, just reached out proactively about COVID and testing because the testing here in Phoenix is a little bit tricky and what we need to do before we go in. I just reached out and said, hey, look, you know, what are you doing for your testing? Here's what I know. And he was so polite and so professional in his response to me and say, you know, the last thing he said is really looking forward to working together successfully. And I thought, you know, what a great way to
nice attitude
yourself to somebody just so, like I said, so professional, so nice. So anyway, really looking forward to it.
Totally. Bethany.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another versatile swimmer. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure she'll step into whatever role is needed, you know, whatever Cindy and the staff need, but definitely a gamer too.
How long till we see skins of 4 a.m. 200 breaststroke, something like that? Looking at some of these athletes, I'm just like, who would do well at a skins like that? How much rest in between? I don't know.
Zane descending increments.
This there is a man go. Who came from a program that gave athletes 16,000 IM. Like, so we need
him back, and they'll be all right. That's for sure.
He's good.
Yeah, really. I mean, I was going to say you're preaching to the choir. I was actually having a conversation with somebody yesterday. We were talking about it. We were saying that if we want USA Swimming to continue to perform well in distance events, we want to see colleges go where the mile and the 400 IM and the 800 free relay are double points. Put an emphasis on them and watch how quickly you start seeing people train for those events. And then because of that, how much in USA Swimming those events, you know, popularity and importance go up.
I think he just broke Brian's heart. He's just like, whoa.
No. Double points. Treat it like divers, where distance swimmers count as a half.
Wow. Listen, talk to me.
Oh.
Talk to me when you perform without a super suit, all right?
Hey, listen, man, I've at least split 134 on a relay at textile.
Did you run the first 25?
That's what relay starts off.
Some big blocks, man.
There you go. Longer block.
No, but to your point, Priestley did put $1 million bounty on a first gold medal for the U.S. in a mile back in the
2000s. Bounty sounds so negative.
It's a bounty, dude. you win the mile for the U.S. and you get $1 million by Priestley. Remember that? Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, let's bring up Ali Gaya. New Zealand, right?
I swam at Kentucky. Trained currently in New Zealand. I saw her Instagram when she took it over. So definitely I love her personality and looking forward to working with her and meeting her. You know?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Got to get some Kiwis there. They're tough.
She's good. She's competitive.
I bet. Love Margo.
Yeah. Again, you know, one of the athletes that Caitlin and Cindy are extremely excited about to have onto the team. And, you know, obviously she brings depth to the relays, individual performance, but definitely elevates, you know, not only the female relays, but also mixed gender relays. So really looking forward to having her on
the leadership team as well. She's experienced.
Yep.
Margo has one of the most beautiful freestyles I've ever seen.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, talk about her, the same comment about Ianfinity. I feel like both with Margo and Ian, they've got, they haven't quite, I don't feel like we haven't seen the best of them. I feel like I wouldn't be shocked if they both made the Olympic team. In fact, I'd certainly hope that they both could. And I think that we've seen some highlights and some flashes of brilliance. I mean, you know, but I don't think that we've seen the top of what they're capable of.
Certainly hope so. Yeah, we enjoyed it, man.
Well, she certainly performed well, you know, at U of A, right, in the college format. And so obviously it doesn't mimic it, but it's very similar in that capacity. So I would expect that she will perform quite well, and she's well versed in that atmosphere. I have no doubt she's going to, you know, really add to the team this year.
Yep. Yeah. Definitely.
We got a sprinter. I saw a set he put down on Instagram a couple of days ago. Did you see that set, those 800 splits he did?
The one that memorizes Instagram.
But Ray posted a workout he did and his splits and his 800s and his 400s. I was like, oh my God. I just felt it.
You know something a lot of people don't know about Zane is he is an amazing kicker with a board.
Kick skins?
Yeah.
Is that where it's at?
I'd put him up there with the best in the world at kicking.
Like what? Yeah. Example.
I don't remember. I just know that he's like a
faster
really
than
good
you.
Kicker. Yeah.
Yeah. You just see me today. You just see me today.
Oh yeah. Where are you going? Social kicks.
Yeah.
3 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go up next. Zach Harting.
All right.
Solid.
Yeah, solid and obviously pretty versatile as well. Yeah, and again, I mean, I keep saying, I know I'm being repetitive with this, but definitely what Caitlin and Cindy have told me about him is just a quality human being and a team leader. So again, really looking forward to meeting these guys. You know, I just know that from last year, based on what they said, was he was willing to step into whatever role the team needed. And I mean, you can't ask for more than that.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, you kind of have to have that in this format.
Yeah, and like you're saying, you know, having good people that are there for the team environment. I mean, if people are going out doing their kind of restricted and test positive, I mean, that could be a big liability on the team. And I'm intrigued to see how the ISL does handle that if there are positive COVID tests and how that does, you know, impact the league.
It'll be like the NBA or MLB.
Yeah, if they're going to sit out meets or what's going to happen.
They will definitely be quarantined. Absolutely. Yeah. They are. I mean, the safety protocols that the league has in place are very strict, and they are there to protect everybody. I mean, you know, I mean, we are – not to go off on a tangent, but we have to be tested twice within 5 days, 48 hours apart before departure. And then when we get there within the first 4 days, we're tested twice as well. I mean, you're in the bubble. So in terms of kind of going out, you can't. You are on the island. You are at the hotels, you know, obviously. And then you go and you train and you come back, you know, and they are, when you go into the hotel, every time you are scanned and you are, you know, they take your temperature and they're being very thorough. You know, the staff at the hotels are tested every 5 days. You know, it's like, it's not just kind of like they're doing, oh, whatever. I mean, they're being very strict about this. You know, really? They don't want anybody getting sick. You know,
Let's go on a tangent here then, because how are you going to deal with the mental health aspect of that? Paul George talked about how hard it was mentally for him to continue that environment in Disney, your former workplace. Yeah, how hard is it? How's that going to be for you to maintain for 6 to 7 weeks this bubble, this lifestyle? It's not easy.
No, I can't imagine it will be easy. You know, I just think that everybody has a purpose of why they're there. I mean, we're going to do activities with the athletes to obviously keep their mental health in a very positive way. I mean, you know, you're not confined to the hotel. You do have Margaret Island, which is what, a mile and a half long. And there's, you know, things on the island to do. I think a lot of it is kind of, we have to wait and see. I mean, you know, the country of Hungary is the best that I know right now. The borders are closed to foreigners. ISL was given an exemption based on their safety protocols. I believe there's another soccer league that is being given the same, you know, leniency or same exceptions. But it's not like you get three strikes and you're out. It's you get one and you're out, you know? So everybody has to take it very seriously in terms of the mental health. I mean, I will believe everyone's going to get into their routine after the first 4 days, you know, and, you know, obviously if there aren't spikes in cases and it is deemed quote safe, then I'm sure they'll relax them. But, you know, initially, their response is to take this very seriously. I think if you watched leading up to the U.S. Open in Flushing Meadows recently, you know, those athletes were in a bubble, you know, and they all performed very well. And if you listen to the interviews, if you listen to Serena, and you listen, they actually really liked it. So I'm going to do the best I can to spin this in a positive way and say that, you know, it, there is a finite amount of time that we are there. It's not infinite. And now we're going to do the job at hand and have fun while we're doing it.
It's going to be interesting to see the level playing field that all these athletes now have, how that affects them as well. We see it in the NBA right now. We're going to see Miami potentially playing Denver in the NBA finals. What?
Right.
Potentially. That's my hope. And because whatever, but it honestly, I think it has to do with a level playing field for a lot of reasons, a lot of stability and normalization of the standards. So the swimming, I don't know.
Totally different influences. I mean,
big time.
Like, I don't know, watching NFL kickers, you know, struggle now or not struggle and, you know, be in an opposing stadium with no raucous crowd, even if they're in the opposing team's end zone, like the dynamics are totally different. So if you nail a game winning kick right now, does that actually carry the same weight or significance that it might if you're, you know, away typically with a crowd? So, you know, there may be some other elements that we see the best out of. I mean, shoot, everybody knows swimmers that were really great in practice and then couldn't show up for meets.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm suggesting that that's anybody who's participating in the ISL, but
you just don't know, right?
But certainly within that, you know, I certainly won't point the finger at Margo or Ian, but thinking in that way, we're talking about like people that maybe we haven't seen the best of them. Maybe there's others on these rosters that maybe we haven't seen the best of. And part of that could be that it's, you know, the pressure of the environment. I mean, I know there were times that I was really impacted by the pressure of the environment and it got the best of me. So maybe in this situation, we'll see some different people rise to the top.
You know, if you, again, I'll go back to the U.S. Open, you know, if you listen, I'm a big tennis fan and, you know, watched, you know, every round of the U.S. Open. And if you listen to them, you know, they would talk about the tennis players that always raised up because they fed off the energy of the crowd. You know, so I'm sure you're going to have athletes that are going to, not be able to feed off the energy of the crowd, and maybe they won't perform as well. But then, like you said, you know, the flip side of that is, you know, they're just getting up and performing in front of their friends and their teammates. It's like, to them, maybe it won't be a big deal. So you may be surprised by athletes that, you know, like you said, haven't shown their best, but in this environment are able to perform because it's not the quote normal pressure or the same pressure. And so I don't know. I'm curious to see if they have a DJ there and how what role music plays in all of this.
Yeah. I mean, we've heard like, so there's a decibel cap for the NFL. I don't know what the NBA is doing. Yeah. Similar.
I know,
but it's like a constant monotone sound that they're playing. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, the NBA is,
But there's noise that they're fabricating, and maybe the ISL ought to do that.
Have you not heard Bob, you can whistle to the best of them, can't you?
No.
I could never whistle when I coached.
I cannot. I can scream and yell with the best of them. My voice will carry with the best of them, but my whistle, no.
Some of those coaches on deck, man.
I don't have some weird idiosyncrasy when I yell, but trust me, the athletes can.
I want to know what the DC Trident team is doing to connect with the fan base back in DC.
Yeah.
trying to use social media to the best of our ability to engage, you know, everybody. And like you said, let everybody see the personality behind the athletes and kind of get to know them, you know, a little bit better, a little bit more. And, you know, I'm sure that as we get closer, you'll see more and more of that. And obviously when we're over there, you'll do that. You know, you'll see that as well, too.
What do you think about that city or geographic affiliation of the teams? When we've got teams that are being assembled, it's a world team. You've got athletes that you haven't met or seen, and the GM and the head coach are the same way. And you don't train all together. You don't actually live in DC. You've at least been on the East Coast. But what do you think about that kind of format?
I honestly, I don't know. I think it's a little bit interesting. You know, I'm not, I would be lying to tell you that I know what the kind of thought process was. You know, I don't know if they just randomly picked cities. I don't know the history behind it. So, you know, I know that obviously, like with Katie Ledecky this year, you know, it was trying to get Katie on the team because she was from the DC area. But, you know, looking at the roster, I don't see anybody that initially is on our roster is actually from the DC area. Maybe when they were kids, but certainly not as a home base right now, I don't think. So I don't know. And I'm not sure. You know, you see like, you know, Cali Condor, the current tend to attract a lot of the California, you know, the Cal Berkeley or the kids from there. So I don't know if it's a hodgepodge with DC Trident or not. I don't know how Caitlin got involved with that team. Happy to find out for you if you want to know.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah, definitely interesting. I mean, we talked about how there's some city names, there's some, like the Cali Condors doesn't have a city associated with them. So it is interesting to see how
Italians, the
Team Iron. I mean, a lot of them don't have cities. So it's interesting how it came about, but I know they said that the goal was to have, you know, these teams training like a sport, like a pro sports team all in one area. Do you think the ISL is in swimming, I think in general, is ever going to get to that point where the pro league has gotten so big where all the athletes are coming together to train in that city?
Well, Ronaldo's not from Juventus.
And he
plays for Juventus, and Messi's not from Barcelona. So yeah,
other sports do it all the time. It's just, I know the CEO is saying that swimmers need to change their mindset, I think, they can, you know, acclimate to being on a pro team and what the sacrifices are to be on a pro team.
Yeah, I don't know. You have to remember that initially this year, the training camp and the performance was supposed to be in the Gold Coast in Australia. That was initially where it was supposed to be. You know, so everybody was going to kind of come together under that umbrella in the sports or in the team environment, you know, and to train, you know, training camp first and then to perform. I know last year, obviously, you know, there were meets held in different locations, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. This year, I don't know if that was an economic decision. I don't know if it just, got everybody together and created more of a culture where ISL as a group, I don't know, but I certainly know that they were trying to give it a kind of bigger identity this year, if you will.
Side note, I want to move on to the rest of the athletes before the light goes. He did a training camp in the Gold Coast with Dennis Cottrell, and he didn't enjoy it, and it bummed me out. You didn't enjoy the Gold Coast, I should say.
No, I love the Gold Coast. I just didn't do anything.
You didn't do anything, but
I didn't
just
have a car. I was busy.
Yeah.
I wasn't with any native English speakers, so I was pretty landlocked there. But it's beautiful out there, that's for sure.
I'm going to go for the athletes because we're going to lose some light, and I don't know how good my super expensive, really professional lighting system is. So let's go on to Tristan. I'm going to run through these really quickly. Don't know Tristan, to be honest. English, who is he from?
Wait, who is this?
Tristan Hollard.
Not on the list.
Not on your list.
New edition. All right, moving on.
All right. Good luck.
Yeah, absolutely not on my. All right.
He was on.
Nice individual.
Are you sure he wasn't an Aussie who pulled out?
Maybe an Aussie. Maybe an Aussie that pulled out. Yeah, yeah.
I think he was an Aussie.
Could be.
Robert?
Yeah. Yeah, Robert Howard?
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously, Bobby, I believe he goes by Bobby Howard, sprinter, Alabama. Again, he's a wonderful leader and a great athlete. You know, I'm really looking forward to meeting him.
Nice. Captain, experienced, been there, done everything.
Yeah,
we all know Madison. Any notes on Madison before we move on?
I swam with Madison in 2012, the team elite. Yeah, she's great. Consistent, very consistent.
Oh, there's a reason why she was picked as the captain, right?
Yeah.
She seems like a good leader, man.
Yeah.
Lindsay Kolaski.
Breaststroker, University of Minnesota. Great speed. Huh. You know, a new addition this year to, I believe, the league, but also a new addition to DC Trident.
Minnesota's got quite the women's breaststroke
history.
Big time.
Yeah. Well, we also picked up Connor McHugh from Minnesota Breaststroke as well.
Men's and women's then.
Tristan Hollard, Australian, so probably out.
All right.
Hey, I'm proud of myself for knowing that.
We'll give it to you.
You just guessed. You're like, I don't know him on the list. Must be
no. No, actually, you just guessed. I didn't read everything's bio, and I was like, okay, the name rings a bell.
But it's, I wish we knew more about the Aussie athletes like that level, to be honest.
That's a great thing about, I mean, like we said, we learned a lot of the Aussies last year.
Yep.
So I think this is great for all of us just as fans to learn more about the international people and get kind of a college feel.
No, there's a good podcast called Off the Blocks podcast, and they focus on Aussie swimmers, and it's good to see what who they speak to and what they do. Yep. Who is Drew? Don't know Loy. Drew.
Who is it?
Drew Loy.
Are you sure he wasn't an Aussie?
What list are you on, Luke? Come on now.
This is from Chalkate Lens Updater. Instagram, because this is from the Instagram series.
I'm just looking. I'm looking at the roster that was sent to me 2 days ago.
Okay,
so.
See? That's why we have you on the show, and that's why we're not on the show.
He's not an Aussie. He's not an Aussie. He's a freestyler IMer at Ohio State. He's from Normal, Illinois.
You've been to Normal, Illinois.
Illinois State University is there.
Normal.
He's actually training with Greg Troy, from what I understand. Yeah, he's from Ohio State, and he was one of the later additions. And he just took over the Instagram account, 2 days ago, 3 days ago?
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a State Farm headquarters is from Normal, Illinois. Go ahead.
Why do we know more about Normal, Illinois than
I did a film there. That's why. All right.
Can I take you to trivia night with me or something?
I'm just a geek. All right, Linnea Mack, let's go.
From San Jose.
Is it?
Yep. Right. Swam at Quicksilver. Swam at Osprey Aquatic Willow Glen High School.
Willow Glen High School.
Went to, did she go to Willow Glen High School? They swim, her club swims at Willow Glen High School. She swam at UCLA, so probably how she got involved with some of the team.
Yep.
Great sprinter.
For Cindy, Cindy.
Bring him back. Yeah. And fly. She's pretty versatile. Sweet.
All right, who's next? Oh, you mentioned Conda.
You mentioned Conda.
Nice pickup.
Yeah, pickup for breaststroker. Yeah. Great. Quality guy.
Uh-huh. Mark Nikolaev.
Flyer?
Backstroker, right?
I don't know. We got
Luke's just going off the photo. Let's be honest. We don't know.
Young man that's from Grand Canyon. He's a backstroker for out of Russia.
Cool.
Yeah,
I remember correctly. I think I read on the Instagram. He got third in the 100 back at NCAAs, and he had the fastest second 50 out of the field.
Oh, I like that. Well,
good. Good for short meters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know who this kid is. No idea. put this on.
You sound like me going, I don't know.
Luke thinks Pebbly's a backstroker.
All right. Nah, that's a solid pickup right there. Good leader. You know, really good swimmer. Absolutely. He was there on the show. He was on last year, was he? Was Jacob on DC Trident?
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
I don't think he was on Trident.
No, he wasn't.
He was on Current.
He might have been on, yeah, Current.
Yeah. He's a new pickup this year.
Yeah, he's great.
Kylie Perry?
Yeah, sprinter out of NC State.
Huh? All right. I heard they can do some good sprinting down there, maybe?
Yeah.
Rumor.
Breaking news.
Yeah, again, obviously she'll add depth to the women's relays and to potentially to the skins. So, you know, excited to have her on board.
Yeah.
So Layston Pickett?
I don't know who that is.
All right.
Sounds Australian.
Maybe
all right. I'll look it up.
Keep going.
This is all
Luke. None of
them. Singapore. Singer. Yeah.
Who is it?
She's from Singapore. She's from Singapore, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. She actually, and she's from, she swam at UCLA with Cindy as well.
Yeah. She's brothers with, I think, a cow swimmer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Who's ripping it up?
Flyer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Pickett is a breaststroker from Australia.
Yeah.
So.
Come on, Luke.
You just 5 minutes on this.
This on purpose to test him. I want to make sure he knows what he's talking about. You've passed the test, Bob. Congrats.
We all know we're just going to say they're from Australia.
Or Trinidad.
Or Trinidad.
We do have one train in the league. Okay, go ahead. Remedy Rule.
Swam at Texas.
Photo.
Carol Capitano. You know, 200 flyer, butterflyer.
Yeah. Is that the first photo where they're holding a trident? when did that happen?
She's invested.
I can tell.
Was in the photo shoot last year.
Yeah, I want to meet Remedy.
All right.
I don't get to see the photos that you guys are looking at.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh, no, you're not
seeing the photos. He's looking at the other screen. The he might be looking at the other screen.
Yeah, I can't see them. But, yeah,
I know. At the other window.
Yeah, Remedy, we said trident last year.
Okay, I'll call the names out next time. I'm sorry, Bob.
It's all good.
Mohammed Sami.
Yeah,
Israeli, right?
Yeah, by way of Egypt, swam at
Egypt.
Yeah, freestyler.
Nice. Is he a sprinter? I'm not familiar.
Don't know.
I believe his best event is the 200 free. So let's just go with mid distance. I'm sure he can sprint as well.
Yeah. Or he'll be requested to.
he will be requested to. If I look up on my cheat sheet, yeah, probably 200 free.
Yeah. Definitely will have some range there.
The coaches should carry a trident on deck, and if nobody goes fast, just poke them with it. Go fast.
Yeah, how about like in the college system, they chain people after like interception. You trident a good swim, and they get a trident to carry around the rest of the meet.
You guys need props.
There you go.
No comment on that one. Hey, you need props.
We got Matias Santana.
Yeah, I'm going to be – honest and say, I don't know him. And,
yeah, never. Not familiar with him.
He's very acquired.
No, he's a Brazilian swimmer. Yeah. I know he's from Brazil. I know that it's his first year on the team, and I can't say that I know more than that. So I apologize for not having better knowledge with it.
It looks like he's – let's see here. He's been on a 100 freestyler, been on some – yeah, looks like a sprinter.
Yeah, 50-100
guy.
I think he's – there's been 22.7 short course, 24.1 long course, and it seems to be a sprinter. There you go.
Yeah, now you can see it. Sweet. Sure. Okay. I fixed it, Bob.
Yep.
Thank you, sir.
Now he's got to find a spot again. So I got to find the freestyle here.
There's Matias, so you can see.
Okay.
You've been missing out on
the go back to the trident photo.
Let's go down to the trident photo. This is awesome.
There you go. She's the only one with the trident.
Look at her, ruler of the ocean.
Awkward right, woman right there.
All right, who is next? Oh, what did I do?
Oh, we're clicking.
No, I didn't. I didn't mean to. Get out of there. Okay, you're good, right? You're back.
I'm here.
All right. Sorry, guys. Sorry. This is the best podcast ever. We got Muhammad.
Muhammad. That's all right.
All right, captain.
There we go.
Sweet.
There we go. So Giles, obviously, sprint freestyle, butterflyer, training with Bob Bowman now at ASU. And again, I told you a story about his text, and seems like a really good guy.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how he performs this year, man.
Yeah.
That big move he did.
Do we think he's going to make the Olympic team? Hunter Fly?
I think everybody's got a shot.
I mean, you got Dressel. You got Andrew. I mean,
I feel like that second spot's wide open.
It is.
Absolutely.
And he's been on the radar. He's been around. He seems to have been improving. I don't know. I mean, I'm intrigued to see if he can make that step.
Has this coach coached any good butterflies?
No, probably not.
Probably not, Ed. I can't think of anyone.
Nobody comes to mind anyway.
No, not at all.
I think he's had some flashes. We'll see if he can do it at the big meet. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. All the best to the kid, man. Yeah,
I think we're all rooting for him. Yep.
Hey, and also, as far as I know, in the last 2 years, he's continued to improve. I mean, he was.
Yeah, he has.
He won, so there's no reason to think he can't continue to keep improving, especially in a new environment.
Definitely.
Tom?
Agreed.
Tom wants to be in there again.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right, move on.
Tom definitely wants to be in there.
True.
Velimir Stepjanovic?
Yeah, I believe he's from Serbia. He was on the team last year. I don't know anything other than that, to be quite honest.
Breaststroker.
Knows how to swim. Miranda Tucker.
I think it's interesting. They have a picture of her doing what?
Not Australia.
She's a breaststroker. You know, sprint breaststroker, started out at Indiana and then transferred to Michigan with Mike Bottom. And, you know, it's done quite well for herself. Excited to get the opportunity to work with her.
That's the roster I pulled up. I know we're missing a couple of new ads, so forgive us. We haven't added. But let's just talk about this. One of the two of the 10 head coaches, a woman, yep. Cindy and Mel. Cindy is, again, a repeat. I mean, a great coach in NCAAs.
So
is
Mel. She was on
last year as well. Yeah, talk about Cindy and what she brings to the team for you, Bob.
First and foremost, I mean, you know, I keep using these adjectives, saying a quality individual. I mean, you know, there's a reason why Cindy was at UCLA for over 30 years. I mean, proven track record of success. She connects with the athletes. You know, she's got a really great demeanor in terms of not getting, you know, really kind of stressed out, or even if she is, she doesn't show it. I think she, you know, gets the idea of trying to create the team environment that's kind of catered to everybody and trying to be inclusive and have fun. You know, that was one of the things they said to her. She said to me when she first called and said, hey, look, you know, we're all about trying to have fun, creating an environment where everybody wants to be there. And so, you know, she's quite knowledgeable and, you know, she's not afraid to rely on her assistant coaches for anything. I keep saying, hey, give me more, or, you know, let me know what I can do to help you out. And I'm just really looking forward to working with her. Like I said, I've known her for a really long time. You know, I've known her where she's recruiting athletes that I've, you know, worked with and coached. So it'll be fun to be on deck with her in terms of and having the opportunity to learn from her. I mean, you know, she didn't get where she is. She currently is. I don't mean retired. I mean, you know, the success. But I look forward to the opportunity to learn from her.
Totally. And then you have Susan.
Teeter. Teeter is awesome. Just, again, just a great person. And, you know, Teeter does a lot of professional coaching of other coaches. She does a lot with Women's Summit. And so I think by having her on the team, not only do you have somebody that was, you know, a very successful D1 coach. I think Teeter was at Princeton for, Teeter, don't quote me, but 32 or 34 years, you know. I don't know how many years she was the Ivy League Coach of the Year, but like I said, you know, she's been doing a lot of professional coaching and trying to get coaches to be well-rounded. And I think she's going to be a great addition to creating the team environment that we want to see.
Bob, predictions. Who's the athlete in the race that's going to stand out the most during this ISL season?
Amy Bilquist, of course.
Boom.
In what race?
I'm going to go with Bilquist is going to do very well in the 100 back.
Is she going to break the world record? Is that what you're saying? You're calling it out?
I would never put a limit on what she is capable of.
I love that, yeah.
Never. Never. I mean, if you know Bilquist, she is a great swimmer, but she's a phenomenal athlete. No, I mean, but seriously, in all seriousness, obviously she swims for Scottsdale, so I'm going to prop her up. But if you look at the lineup, I mean, you could go through every athlete, you know, the 15 guys or 15 women, 16 men, and you probably could pick something that they're going to excel at. And so I wouldn't be surprised with how anybody does.
Team predictions. Who's winning ISL this year?
I don't know. I mean, based on paper, I would say that the team to beat is probably Energy Standard, right? I mean, Energy Standard has so many studs from Europe. I would have said that London Roar had a really great shot. Obviously, they were hit really hard with Yeah, I think it'll be really interesting to see how Tokyo does. You know, Dave Salo is the head coach there and what he is capable of doing with his athletes. But don't count out DC Tridents.
Where can people keep up with you in the lead up to and during ISL season?
Well, first and foremost, CBS Sports has signed a contract with ISL where they're going to be broadcasting all of the dual meets, all of them live. So I encourage everybody to follow CBS Sports. Obviously, our social media, you know, is going to be quite active. You can find that. And then I'm sure if you look on the social media for each individual athlete on the team, you're going to see them posting as well, and the coaching staff.
Well, we're expecting to follow you and a lot of IG lives when you're on Margaret Island. So do some cool stuff.
Definitely. Great island.
Yeah. Have you guys been there?
I've been there, yeah.
Yeah. I was there last summer, and got to spend, 3 weeks there last summer, which was really fun. And then coincidentally, the year before, I just happened to go to Budapest on vacation. So it's going to be the third year in a row that I get to go there.
There you go.
Stay healthy, Bob. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's been a blast. That's it for this episode of the Social.
Wait, I want a Trident t-shirt or hat or something. We need some gear. Do we talk about we need some swag?
What's up, man?
Yeah.
Props. We want more swag.
I wear this. We can wear other stuff.
You can be the official DC Trident fan club.
I will do my best to hook you up. You need to send me your sizes.
I feel like we are. We had Margot. We had Bill Quist. Now we have Bob here. We got
Luke's a schmedium.
Okay. Yeah. What are you, Brian? You're going to be like a little crop top, right?
Make it a tank.
A tankini for him.
Are you going to cut it inside down the side?
Let Goodrich pick it for him.
Okay. Well, hey, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Bob.
Pleasure.
All right.
Thanks, Bob.